Yes, sorry to interrupt this very interesting discussions which take place among the chairs in this corner. So for the end of 1.5 long days, we will have like a 15, maximum 20 minute conversation here, the two of us. And then we decided that all of the session chairs will come on stage because most of the artists had to leave already. And there is a kind of final possibility for the public to ask questions regarding the whole set of panels and the whole thematic field. So, is the door closed? Yes, fine, okay. So, the famed is an entity which consists of two persons. And one of them can't be there because he has the same as me, he has a bad cold. And he is even worse than mine. It's from an excessive live performance in public space, which killed his voice. October 9th, which is a very special date in Leipzig. I don't tell more about it. But half of the entity is with us, which is Sebastian Kretschmer. And for him, it's kind of unusual to replace the other half, because if you talk with both, it's like talking to one person normally. It's an entity, as I say, you know. And now we have this empty seat in the middle of us, you know. So, and what famed does is not really a typical ready-made approach. It's not like the major track of their work. They occasionally do works which relate to prefabricated consumer goods, but they also do a lot of other things. They do many works in the field of public art and site-specific art. They do installations, they do text works, they work with neon, they work with video, and recently this kind of very excessive performance in public space, which killed the voice of our friend. So they do what many artists do, like a general conceptual approach, which is not fixed to a specific medium, including occasionally something which might be called a ready-made strategy, although in your work you never used this word ready-made until now, I think. So as many of the artists here, they don't call it ready-made, even though the practice from an art historical point of view might be related to that. And so one of these works always struck me since I saw it first in 2013, and we decided to reinstall this work, which has been shown before in various places here at the Hakawe. I don't know if anybody of you spotted what it is. I'm sure you all have seen it. Maybe some of you have used it. And the moment now is to discover for you the undercover ready mage, which is with us since the start of the symposium. And you may even have a look at the printed flyer and find in the very low corner we have a little hint. We wanted to make it a little bit easier for you, but it didn't help. Okay. And this is our inductory slide. I talked about that already. Anybody saw that? You saw this in the building? Mm. The official title is Wall Work Number 9. And here you see the first installation for which it was conceived in Berlin, in an art space close to the Volksbühne at Rosa-Luxemburg-Platz. For this reason, it has the name L40. And it's wall work number 9 is only like a part of a serious description. It has no proper title. And it is a cigarette machine which is filled with cigarettes, and you can buy them. And it includes here on the other wall, you don't see it, a wall text, which we left here. Okay. It was shown after the L40 also in another location. We will get back to that in Bremerhaven. And in the L40 in 2013, it was installed for 4 months, which is a long time, because this is a normal schedule when they change that shows. So it was part of a show which was taking part on the upper floor. You have to push the you have to ring to get into the building, and then you can go into the elevator to go up to the show. So by going to the show, you would pass this piece, and you would maybe see it, maybe not see it, maybe understand that it was part of the show, and maybe not. So it's a similar situation as the one here. What for smokers, I'm a non-smoker, but for smokers, might be a hint that something is strange with this machine are two things: that it has no 18 years card-based age control. So even if you are 12, you can buy tobacco, which is no longer permitted in Germany. And the other more important one, the price is per package €3 only, opposed to what is now the normal price, you said €7?
Yes, around seven.
€7, yeah. So how come?
It comes that the cigarettes who are inside, they are smuggled. And it means that they don't have a German revenue stamp. Mm-hmm. And we sell it for the purchasing price, like we organize it. Mm-hmm. And and you can buy cheap cigarettes here.
So it's a kind of legal gray zone. Hmm?
And yes, like
it's
it is.
So like it's not really public out on the street, I think you would run into difficulties. Also, it's not in the white cube installed, where it would be very evident as a piece of art, but it's like in a gray zone of visibility and in a gray zone of legality, I think so. And I called it, in a way, a kind of semi-public intervention.
Yes, that's true. We spoke about, in your introduction, you spoke about this work. It's part of an exhibition in the L40 Kunstverein Rosa Luxemburg Platz. It's not really true, but in a way, because the L40 invites three times a year artists who make a site-specific or a work mm-hmm. in the entrance. And where you see here on the wall the cigarette machine, this is the wall work. It's called the wall work, mm-hmm. and this is the reason this work called Untitled Wall Work Number 9, because it was number 9. Mm-hmm. And and in this case, we create a work to, although we were thinking about what is to be done when you have this kind of, and then we create this work.
So it's important information for me too, because I was just visiting the show upstairs and I didn't see it when I got in, you know, like all most of the people here. And then when I was upstairs, people from the office directed me when going out to have a look. So that's why I matched it with the upstairs exhibition, you know. But how were the reactions during 4 months? What did happen? It's a long time, and many things happen in such a situation.
Yeah, a lot of things happens, of course, at the beginning and the opening. As like you say, nobody really realized it. They realized it, of course, because it was there was War Work Number 9, and it was written also on the window outside. But the people were didn't really know what happened after the moment that someone tried to put €3 inside. And he realized that he can bought cigarettes for €3.
It's working, yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's working like a domino effect. And after the opening, I think the machine was quite empty. Uh-huh. And this is a really important point, when what happened when the machine is empty. The thing is, we create a kind of, we call that non-profit, kind of a non-profit sub-economic circle. Because
a non-profit sub-economic cycle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more kind of a, to give them a term. And the thing is that we install the piece, and like artists it is, and we try to get to find these cigarettes. And it was first shown in Berlin, and later I will speak about the other place where it was shown, so it was quite different. And we try to get or to find these cigarettes in Berlin, these illegal cigarettes, or people who sell it to us. And this was a really good experience, because when artists try to buy illegal cigarettes, it could be very difficult. Because when you met some guys and they are quite, you know that they sell something, but they realize that you are asking a bit too much, like for example, for special brands. And in the end, you order more than 100 packs of cigarettes, they are very, very skeptical and leave immediately. Mm-hmm. I think they are thinking we are civil police in the end. Yeah, but yeah, this was direction. It runs quite well. And of course, the experience was, we were more interested, because of course there was a lot of war works and very interesting things. But we was wondering, because the entrance, I said it before, it was more like a showroom, so or a shopping window, I'm sorry. And when you passed it, you can see it also from the street, so there's something happen. And we were interested to bring people in this semi-public space, to bring inside, not to watching out, just to consuming from outside, so to interact in a way.
Yeah. But it was full the whole 4 months. So you said it was empty after the opening.
Yeah, okay. Yes, it's true.
And it was always re...
Yes, you are right. This is what I wanted to say. Thank you. It's that we create this circle I spoke about. And then we find some cigarettes guys who sold something to us, and then we give it to the institution. Mm-hmm. We get them in contact, and the institution has to take care of the cigarette machine, so it runs until the exhibition.
Still the illegal stuff the institution
yes,
has
yes,
to
of
buy.
Course, of course, of
okay.
course. It was at the moment when we spoke about the idea, everyone was at the moment, oh yeah, cool, but then the moment we said, yeah, but you have to buy it again, and you have to refill it, and then, but it works quite, works pretty good. But in the end, because you said about it, about the duration time of 4 months, of course, people start to ring to get in. So also the people who live in the house was a bit more part of the work than they want, maybe. Yeah. So.
And you said that those guys who deliver goods were a big fan of it. I mean, all these DHL.
Oh yes, of course, of
so
course.
They all kind of they missed it in the end.
Yeah, yeah. They said it to us in the end from the Kunstverein that the guy from DHL ring and ask where's the machine.
You had, as you told me before, some historical references which are part of your conceptually framework, which might be evident or not for those people who just see this apparatus. And you said that in this area, which is called the Scheunenviertel in Berlin, in the late 19th century, many immigrants from Europe were in fact running a family business making cigarettes. And Lars told me that there is the notion of the ready-made cigarette that is one that you don't do yourself, you know. So, without knowing that, what Lars told yesterday, it's interesting to think about a time when cigarettes were mostly pre-produced by hand in a kind of labor work. Certainly not very big capitalization of this handwork.
Yeah, that was a thing to survive. So the people came, and they, like you said, we spoke about this, and we found it was. We searched for kind of this Scheunenviertel about this area, because of course artists try to make research in a way. And but it was a quite simple. I found it, I guess, on Wikipedia. I guess it was a small thing, but we found it really interesting that they create this family business to roll and sell cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And this it's not the same, but it's like we compare this a bit also to the situation of the Vietnamese in 1990s. Mm-hmm. So.
You have to explain a little bit more about this situation, because the Vietnamese are one of the groups which survived in the early 90s by illegal cigarette sales. And there is a specific reason which has to do with the end of the GDR, which you researched on the occasion.
Yeah, because they lost the working status.
The work permit.
They lost the work permit and saw his status, and it was unclear. Mm. And they tried to run this business.
Yeah. With the reunification, but it's not really there was a kind of gap in the reunification scenario, that those people which were kind of guest workers in the GDR suddenly had no legal status anymore in the new BRD. And nobody had thought about this problem, you know. So they were forced to become kind of illegal vendors, street vendors, you know. So
yeah. But it was not the reason that we did the work. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
When we spoke about this a long time ago, we had this together, and we so.
I think we are kind of almost through with this. There is one example that came up also during the presentation of Inke with the Bitnik. How was it called? The
Random Darknet Shopper,
which is an interesting relation to your piece, which we didn't think about before, because this included buying smuggled cigarettes or non kind of darknet, but you showed all the Chesterfield things, you know. Yeah, and this was not the strongest one for sure. Maybe it was other reasons why the Zurich police intervened, but it shows again that some kind of these ready-made strategies which seem to be so smooth and so kind of undisputed. Or canonized today, if you push them just a little further, you know, suddenly become very kind of controversive, and even questions of legal issues, you know, of in this case, who makes the choice? In your case, is this still art or is it something else? And who buys a cigarette, you know? And, so we proceed maybe to just 3-4 slides of other works with that. Or did we forget anything about this one?
No, maybe to say that the work was shown in Kunsthalle Bremerhaven, and I just want to come back how we organized the cigarettes. And this was more quite easier because Bremerhaven has a harbor, and I realized that you find easily everything very easily. Okay, so
Bremerhaven was more of a real institution, even because it was the Kunstverein Bremerhaven.
Yes, but in Bar's situation, of course, they were a bit, can we do this? But in the end, they did it, like here, the HKW. Yeah. So I thank you to HKW that they did it.
We have to give a short applause to the HKW on this occasion. And, I won't go into details, but a Kunstverein is a relatively flexible unity, and this is a Bundesinstitution.
That's true.
And we won't go into details of the discussions, whether it's possible to do that or not, but it was not kind of easy to have it here the way it is. Okay. So just to show that this is like not the only piece which works with found objects. This is special spatial reconfiguration number 11. Feynman always has these kind of serial numbers in their work, you know. And it was installed in Leipzig in the Spinnerei 2010, so 3 years before the cigarette machine. And the Spinnerei in Leipzig is a former industrial textile production, the biggest one in East Germany, which, as many of these industries, broke down after unification because they were selling only to Eastern Europe. And with the introduction of the D-Mark, these markets were kind of vanishing. And then it was a big, large, empty factory structure for a couple of years. And then slowly, artist studio invaded it. And then galleries came in. And now it's like the hot spot of the Leipzig gallery studio art space scene. You know, so it's a kind of slow transformation from cotton to culture, how they call it in their logo. You know, and so again, it's a very interesting situation. And you have your studio in this area.
Yes.
Mm. And you had your first solo show in Leipzig in this area, in one of these buildings which now house art spaces.
Yeah, it was not the first one, but but it was one.
A larger
it's a large institution, institutional foundation.
So what's about to see here?
It's quite easy. The work is that we install our studio door instead of the entrance, of the real entrance. So we close this. And you get in the exhibition through this tiny door.
And normally the entrance, where was it?
It's to see here.
And it's just a normal...
Yeah, it's quite a...
Baumarkt
door. We had it because we moved to Spinnerei in this time 3 months before. And we had a quite tiny studio with a tiny door.
So maybe the other one, when you're in the show, is how you see it.
Here's good to see on the right side. This is the normal door, and this is our studio door. It's now the entrance, it's a kind of, we called it more like an stage door. So when you come in, so we painted all the black, it's kind of you come on stage.
So again, this piece or this intervention or reconfiguration, how you call it, includes the possibility of not being seen.
Yes.
So, and people may enter the exhibition and may walk out of the exhibition through that door without understanding that it's part of the show, you know. And you didn't put any special labels or anything on it?
No. It was on the floor plan, I guess.
Yeah.
But of course, the audience was a bit it was curious about the situation because especially the people don't know the space and they try to get in and then, okay. And the people who didn't know the space, of course, when you go through this door and there was a really... a huge space, so you are a bit wondering, and when you turn around and have this situation, you ask yourself.
Such a small door in such a large space, and you had the feeling that maybe this door was not the normal door in this kind of huge factory, but you could miss it.
Maybe.
It was easy to miss it, as easy as a cigarette machine.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and this brings me to a short Duchampian history story that the first test ever of Duchamp of exhibiting ready-mades in 1916 ended up with going under the radar of the public and the press. And this is even so much part of the story that even Duchamp in the end didn't remember, or supposedly didn't remember, which pieces he showed. And for him, it was the test that you can make works which are not works of art because nobody sees them. And then the second step only was the fountain, which is kind of in the focus of our discussion here, which got this visibility through the photograph of Stieglitz. And now the whole story of this centennial is focused around the fountain. But the real story would be those ready-mades that nobody saw, would be more representative in the way that they are not representative for the initial moment of bringing the ready-mades to the public. And without that we ever discussed about that, it's in a way on the track of what's been happening 100 years ago. It's astonishing how the invisibility of these kind of interventions is still a large possibility, you know, now as we are so over kind of sensitive to any kind of interventions of artists in any kind of situation. We are kind of trained through Münster sculpture projects or through Documenta to find the most ephemeral tracks of artists as long as we have them indicated on the map. But once there is no map and there is no sign, we simply pass them without giving notice. And this is, for me, a criterion of the freshness of the whole thing, you know. And so, what happened in the studio while the door was on show?
Yeah, there was no door. It was it was open. It was during the exhibition time. But what I said, we moved in the studio a couple of months ago, and we prepared this exhibition there. So everything runs from the studio directly to the exhibition, and so the studio was quite empty. Of course, there were kind of some furnitures on the broken fridge, but...
Any unexpected visitors to the studio?
I was wondering. I think, yeah, but not so much. But, yeah, we worked there.
Okay.
Open door.
One could come to see you working.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Okay. Artistic labor on display. Okay. So, two more works, and then we're through. This is untitled with the subtitle Eritrea, and it's the well-known Nike Air sneakers, which you kind of hand-customized with three color stripes in the Adidas style. So why are these colors there?
Yeah, also this is the color flags of Eritrea, and we showed the work first in in Italy, and then at Bremerhaven where this shot is. And they have of the one side you have these two major brands, and on the other side it was a question of how the global circulation of goods in with no borders and risk compared to the humans.
You said that in 2013 most of the immigrants coming through the Mediterranean
in this time came from Eritrea.
And that goods are easy to cross borders but humans not, you know. So this is the hidden
Yes, of course.
So the final piece, it has a German title, which you can read out there, and I just translate. You ask too early, we can't help you. And it's the most recent piece. It was done again in a specific situation at the Kunstverein Braunschweig. It was also site-specific, if you want, in a very small room, which you found the way we see it here.
Yeah.
A tiny little white cube, you know. And I kind of branded it as a performative ready-made, because once you enter this space, you would see that this apparatus had the key which you push in the back, you know. Normally, if you run these things in fairs, you have to pay, similar maybe to the cigarettes, something like €3 to have your ride, you know. But then there are the guys who do the business, who have this key, and who can drive all time, you know. When I was 12, I was always sure I would get one of these. I would be one of these guys when I grow up to can drive all time, you know. So. And so this desire suddenly fulfills when you enter this room. And
like you said in the beginning and to the opening, it was for us was we saw it more as a sculpture. And you didn't see it here on this beamer, but when you came in, the light was on, so it was full functional.
On this driving
it's,
car.
So there was a potential moment, and but it was a bit unclear. It's maybe like the cigarette machine. I didn't know what, can I use it or can I, it's not allowed to use. But after a while, a guy tried it. And if you even try a bumper car, there's only you put on and it goes super fast.
And it's a small room.
In a small room, and it's wasn't not you were not able to turn around. And so he tried it, and of course he crashed in the wall, and he was super ashamed and went out. And then they were more shocked about this camera you see there. But it was not installed by us, because the Kunstverein installed it, and I asked them, oh, it's cool, can we have the video? And he said, no, it's a fake. I said, okay. It's and and of course, he recognized that nothing happened, and so and nobody says something like, oh. And so there was a, the border was broken, and then, of course, the audience tried the bumper car, and after... I guess I would say 30 minutes. I guess it was 10 minutes. The room looks like this. So, yeah, but I found it interesting what you say about this. It's maybe a kind of a, what you said, called a performative ready-made.
Performative ready-made, just to.
We never thought about this. It was more.
I mean, you can compare it on the one hand with the cigarettes, because there is this moment of interaction, which also changes the piece or the situation. You know, before it's full, and I think I'm sure after our session it will be empty. You know, so here the intervention is more dramatic or more aggressive, so to say. It's not only consuming;
it's also fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and on the other hand, it's a kind of maybe, I mean, institutional critique has become such a serious business recently, or not only recently. And
yes, you can also read it like as a statement of this. Yeah,
yeah.
We try to, with our works, to give most space to see or to read it.
Yeah. So how to get out of the white cube, because you never get out of it anyway, you know. So
maybe.
So far from our side. Any questions to Sebastian? Then we shift persons.
Thank you.
Here. Okay. Thank you, Sebastian. Okay.